The fire on the street in front of the Baron's residence had finally been put out. The street was black and charred, and the pre-dark asphalt had buckled under the heat of the fire. The sides of the Baron's mansion were also scarred by the flames, with windows on the first three floors melted from the heat. But while the street fire was out, the Wagpool barn was still blazing fiercely. A great pall of smoke hung over the entire ville, making it look as if the place had just been through a war. Baroness Lashini stood in the middle of the street in front of the Baron's mansion, with fisted hands resting on her hips. There was a cheroot jammed into the corner of her mouth, and a tight smile holding it in place. It had all been so easy. She had expected a firefight for the place, with dozens of dead and twice as many injured. But the Outlanders had taken care of most of the opposition, just escaping from the ville. The ville sec force had been cut by half, and the half that remained were exhausted from fighting the fires. On the other hand, her sec force hadn't fired a single round, and were able to just ride into the ville in their wags and take over control. There were still a few sec men about, and a few of them would undoubtedly remain loyal to Robards, or even to Demann, and there might even be a movement afoot to get rid of her from within. But all of that would be addressed in the next few days. For now, she was the only Baron in the ville, and in fact, she was now Baron of two villes, and she had never had a sweeter moment of triumph in her life. Just then, the first of her sec men were approaching in their wags. The first two wags drove right by her, setting a perimeter around the Baron's residence building, which would do very well as her command center. The third wag came to a halt just in front of her. When the smoke cleared, she saw that Robards was sitting in the passenger seat, with the blasters of the two sec men behind him pushing hard against his skull.
Ah, Sec Chief Robards. Or should I say, Sec Man Robards.
She gave him a little smile.
How did you enjoy being Baron? I bet you savored every one of those 20 minutes.
Tell these men to pull back their blasters or I swear
You'll I'll... do what, asshole? You're nothing in this ville now. Especially since it was you who chilled Baron Demann in cold blood.
A crowd of ville residents began to gather around them.
I didn't kill him, it was you. You were the one who shot him in cold blood.
So you're a liar too, I see.
No, you chilled him.
Robards began moving his head in all directions, as if he were talking to everyone at once.
Checked around. It's from a snub-nose 38. I use 9mm ammo. Check it and you'll see it's a perfect match to her blaster.
So you thought of everything, I see. You used my blaster, or one just like it, in an attempt to frame me. You're more despicable than I thought.
The crowd of people looked at Robards with disgust.
Take him to the basement and hold him there until I decide on a suitable punishment for him.
Yes, ma'am.
They restarted the wag and drove Robards away.
Now let's get that front gate blocked off. The last thing we need is muties wandering around while we're trying to get this ville back on its feet.
At that moment, a man stepped out of the crowd.
Hey, who decided that you'd be our new Baron?
Any other questions? Good. Then let's get to work.
The companions reached a quiet bend in the river just as the sun was beginning to fall out of the western sky, tinting the clouds strange hues of orange, red, and yellow. If they hadn't been so tired and hungry, if Jack hadn't been fighting for his life, it could have been a very pleasant evening for them. But the moment JB brought the wag to a halt and cut the engine, Ryan was on his feet and barking orders.
Doc, you and Christy find out if there are any fish in the river worth eating.
Very well. I shall fish.
Mildred, you and I'll get Jack onto the ground. This box gives good protection, but the steel will get awfully cold at night.
How are we going to get Jack out of here? I don't think he's going to be helping us any.
We'll see if this box can tilt. If it does, the job's easy. And if it doesn't, we'll try to make Jack as comfortable as we can inside the box.
Ryan peeked over the top of the box.
You think this box still goes up and down?
Don't know. There's a control here that reads up and down. I suppose that one's worth a try.
Give me a minute.
Ryan climbed down from the box. He got Mildred to pass in the last can of fuel and anything else that needed to be removed from the box before it was raised. When Ryan was done, JB started up the wag. Ryan positioned himself behind and to the side of the wag and gave JB the signal to raise the box. JB revved the wag's engine, and after a few moments, he flipped the control in the cab to the up position. The WAG's engine started to falter, but continued to run roughly as the steel box slowly began to rise. Ryan moved directly behind the steel box and watched as the large rectangular door lifted up off its restraints and began to hang freely open.
Far enough!
Even though raising the box farther would make the opening wider, Ryan didn't want Jack and Mildred to come sliding out of the box, since the rocky ground near the river's edge would make for a hard landing. JB moved the control to the middle position, causing the box to stop rising and the engine to run much smoother. Ryan grabbed a few nearby tree branches to prop the door open, and then reached inside the box for Jack. He was in a dormant stage, and Ryan easily picked him up and carried him around to the side of the WAG. Then he put him onto the ground as quickly as he could, not wanting to hold the teen if and when he suddenly turned wild on him. With Jack on the ground and Mildred attending to him, Ryan removed the branches holding the box open and told JB to lower it. A few moments later, the box was down, and the WAG's engine was once again shut down.
I'll get some water for Jack.
Lenny turned to face JB.
You see if you can use the WAG to set up some sort of shelter for us.
JB nodded silently and went off searching for materials to make a shelter for the friends. Night was coming, and judging by the condition Jack was in, it was going to be a long, hard one. Shortly after dark, Baroness Lashini's Sekfors had closed off the main gate and were working toward controlling the key functions of the Ville. Her men had taken over the armory, which was full of remades and ammo, even a few pre-dark grens, and they'd set up guards around the smoldering ruins of the WAG pool. They'd cut off the supply of fresh water from the Ville's main well and diverted the flow to just a single pump so they could control the consumption of water. Whoever recognized her as the new Baron of the Ville got as much water as they needed. Those who opposed her would die of thirst. Any Sek men who openly defied her were either shot or imprisoned, and if they refused to give themselves up, then their entire families were wiped out. A funeral pyre of bodies burned in the open roadway between the Baron's mansion and the front gate. A small triage area was set up next to the fire, where pancreases, livers, and other chemical-producing and storing organs could be harvested before the bodies were placed on the fire. The smell of burning flesh was putrid and traveled throughout the Ville, reminding those who chose to hide that no one and no place was safe for those who opposed the new Baroness. But once you got past the Sekmen and the Ville leaders and stepped down a few rungs on the social ladder, few citizens really cared who ran the Ville. In the gaudy houses and taverns, there was no change in the supply of drugs, and people continued to use Dream and Jolt to escape their reality. For them, a new Baron meant that one form of tyranny had been exchanged for another, and they were still stuck inside the Ville's walls. When morning came, they would still be making bang and smash for Easterners, whose lives were just as hopeless as their own. For people on the Ville's bottom rung, it was a case of the old saying that the more things changed, the more they stayed the same. However, even though things had changed, few thought that the changes would be permanent. One of Baroness Lashini's Sekmen tried to rally support for the Ville's new leader.
Raise a glass to the new Baroness!
About half the customers lifted their mugs in reply. A gaudy house slut spoke to one of the old-timers playing blackjack in the corner.
What's the matter? Ain't you gonna toast the bitch in charge?
The old-timer lifted his mug quickly, then set it down again.
I'll toast the new Baron when there is a new Baron. The battle's over for today, but I got a feeling the war ain't over yet.
What do you mean? The new Baron has got a sect force over 30 men.
And the man had a force of over 40 that was pretty much wiped out by a handful of outlanders.
So who's gonna be the new Baron when all this is over with?
Don't know that, but I do know it won't be Lashini.
How do you know?
Heh, just do.
The dealer dealt another card to the old-timer, who turned his cards over, showing a total of 21. By the time darkness fell on their camp, JB had constructed a lean-to against the side of the WAG that provided Jack a modest amount of protection from the elements. Ryan had given up his coat, and the other friends had done the same, hoping to keep Jack warm through the night. Doc had managed to net a few catfish from the river, and along with a few dried provisions they could muster, the evening meal provided an acceptable amount of nourishment, if not flavor. The fresh water and a few bites of food had seemed to help Jack, stretching out the time he was dormant so that his wild outbursts came roughly every hour. However, his fever was still running dangerously high, and his wild times were becoming increasingly more savage. During the last one, he had bitten cleanly through his gag and let out a blood-curdling cry that had surely been heard for miles around. And so, expecting company, Ryan and JB took the first watch, but Christy and Doc didn't feel much like sleeping, so the four of them kept an eye and ear on the darkness, while Mildred tended to Jack. Using the WAG as a home base, Ryan scouted a perimeter of 50 yards, starting from the river's edge and making a broad circle around the WAG, crossing with JB roughly in the middle, before continuing on until he hit the river's edge once more. Ryan and JB were about to cross paths for the sixth time when they stopped for a few minutes to talk.
Think Jack will pull through?
If Mildred doesn't know, how should I? I do know that if anyone can make it through this, Jack's a good bet to be the one.
Can't argue with...
JB stopped in mid-sentence to listen to the dark, dark night.
I heard it too.
The two men dropped to a crouch.
Direction?
I'll make it to the left. 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Ryan looked behind him and saw that Christy and Doc were aware of the danger and had also taken up defensive positions.
You circle right, I'll circle left. Let's see if we can get behind them.
JB and Ryan started to move when a voice boomed out of the darkness.
Do not move!
Ryan and JB reluctantly stopped in their tracks. They tried to find the speaker in the darkness, but without any luck.
We don't want any more trouble from you, Baron. You let us go now, and we'll cause you no more trouble. But if you want more of a fight, we'll only chill more of your sec force and bust up your vill.
I am not the Baron.
Ryan didn't recognize the voice. True, it didn't sound like either of the Barons he'd heard speak in the vill. This one sounded, well, different. Maybe even not fully human.
And before you decide on fighting us, let me warn you that there are 15 members of my family surrounding your encampment. You would probably consider our weapons to be primitive, but we know how to use them with deadly accuracy. And before you consider sneaking down to the river and away in the current, two of my sons are also on the other side of the river waiting for you, just in case. We don't want to fight you, so please lower your weapons.
This was no Baron. Ryan was sure of it. But if not a Baron, then who was it?
My name is Ryan. Ryan Carter. Who are you?
I am Azaxir, leader of the Inheritors, and a friend.